following sermon is from Faith Bible Church, located in Murrieta, California. More information about Faith Bible Church is available at www.faith-bible.net.
Welcome to Good Friday service. The heart of this service is to deeply reflect on the death of Jesus Christ on your behalf, remembering what He did on this Good Friday. This service is actually intended for the precious family of Faith Bible Church. If you're new with us tonight, thank you for joining us. You are welcome to be here, but know that this service is actually directed at believers, at Christians, those who are born again and have a genuine relationship with Jesus Christ. This service is not for those who are casual church attenders, the Christian in name only, those who might be in rebellion or have some ongoing unconfessed sin in their lives. This is a service where our hearts must be right with God. So we welcome you with us. The goal of this evening, again, is that we want to remember what Jesus Christ has done for us. And therefore, the price was paid. And understand, a sacrifice was made, an eternal suffering was endured, and God actually allowed His Son to be killed and intended that so that you might be saved. And that's a sacrifice that really deserves our heart devotion, our committed zeal, and our life obedience. His true children have truly exchanged all that they are for all that Christ is. And make certain that's true of you. In the very first gospel, the Gospel of Mark, in chapter 14, verse 32 and following, there's an event that absolutely shocks the reader about the coming sacrifice of Jesus Christ. The first communion service has already occurred. They have left the upper room, and now Christ and His men have retreated to the Garden of Gethsemane, and they're there to pray. Christ has yet to be arrested, but that's going to happen very soon. But it's here, possibly more than any other time except for the cross, where you see the absolute agony of the Son of God. And understanding that agony will help you to understand your salvation. Let me read this passage as it's on the screen now for you. Verses 32 to 36 of Mark 14. They came to a place named Gethsemane, and He said to His disciples, "Sit here until I have prayed." And He took with Him Peter and James and John and began to be very distressed and troubled. And He said to those three, "My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death." And He said to them, "Remain here and keep watch." And then He went a little bit beyond them, and He fell to the ground and began to pray that if it were possible, the hour might pass Him by. And He was saying, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for You. Remove this cup from Me, yet not what I will, but what You will." This place was a favorite getaway place for Christ and His disciples, this Garden of Gethsemane on the Mount of Olives. And now Jesus comes there for the very last time. But it's here where Jesus experiences a divine struggle that you really see nowhere else in His earthly ministry. After the cross, this is probably the greatest moment of agony that has ever been described and the world has ever witnessed. It is an intimate and profound look at God the Son. It is almost open-heart surgery on Jesus Christ. It is actually here that you can see things that you can't see anywhere else about our Lord Jesus. So what's happening at this second greatest agony? Well, Christ, who is God incarnate, is anticipating God's wrath being poured out on Him. In fact, the pressure and the sorrow is so great that He comes close to death. It comes close to actually physically killing Christ. This conflict is actually staggering the God-man. It is so great. It staggers God the Son. So he asks his men, please remain awake and pray with me. I need your prayers. And in order to have the support of intimate friendship and later on for this to be recorded in the Gospels, he invites the three, his closest friends, to come and support him in a secluded spot. Verse 33 says, and he began to be very distressed and troubled. Verse 34, and he said to them, my soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch. Look at these words. Focus on these three dramatic phrases here. First, distressed. It comes actually from a verb that actually means to be amazed. Now that's kind of shocking. Here is the omniscient, all-knowing God. How can he be possibly amazed? And yet here he is, amazed. There's something the God-man has never experienced. This is completely alien to Christ. In fact, it causes him, second word here, to be troubled. He says he is troubled, literally means anguished, to a point that cannot even be comprehended. You say, what's causing this? Was it Judas's betrayal or the disciples' desertion coming up, Israel's rejection, or maybe the upcoming unjust trials that are going to be happening, the mockery, the scourging, the crucifixion, or even his dying? Is that it? I don't believe so. Those things do cause sorrow, but the amazed anguish here is far more deep and far more painful to the Savior. What is it? It is Christ anticipating his role as a sacrifice for our sins. His role as a sacrifice for our sins. To become sin for you and me. To bear our sin upon himself. That is completely alien. Holy God has never known sin. He can't sin. Now you and I, we know sin. From our very dead nature to our Holy Spirit-inspired, called, pleading Christ to free us from the penalty and from the power of sin, we know sin. We know its trouble. We know its power. We know its filth. We know sin's addiction. We know sin's perversion, its pride. We know its drive and its enslavement. We know the lie of sin. We know the consequences of sin, but Jesus Christ did not. He did not. He felt the full weight of temptation, yes, but his holy nature, his sinless purity, his complete righteousness, his perfect obedience as God himself never allowed him to sin. And therefore, here God is asking Christ to embrace sin. He's asking him to embrace sin as a sin bearer, not as a sinner, but as a sin bearer, to pay the wages of sin and to accept our punishment for sin. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, he made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to become sin. Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, he would be pierced for our transgressions and he would be crushed for our iniquities. And that's the grief that he bears at this point. Now understand, this is more than Jesus died for me. It's more than that. Friends, the punishment for sin is not only death, but it's bearing God's wrath. Bearing God's wrath, the wrath that we deserve for our sin against God, was not a momentary expression of wrath. Understand, we deserve God's wrath poured out on us for all eternity. That's what hell is. It is God's wrath poured out on us for all eternity. Our just punishment for our sinful nature and our sinful choices is an eternity of God's wrath against us. We deserve the torment of that poured out in hell forever. So Jesus, when he bears the wrath for sin, the holy wrath of God, God the Father, against our sin, against himself, in our place, he's bearing an eternity of wrath for every single believer. For every sinner who he died for, he took that sinner's eternal death, eternal wrath. Not just a moment of wrath, but the eternal wrath. For the millions of sinners whom he died, he took a million eternities of wrath on the cross. And he bore that wrath for his children, past, present, and future, all at once on the cross. And now you begin to get an idea of why Christ is experiencing this amazed anguish. He knows the wrath of God. He is God himself. He understands what that wrath is. And he knows now that he's going to bear it for millions of, as if it was poured out for all eternity upon himself. This is a divine holy pressure that you and I will never experience. But it is a holy pressure that our Savior bore for you. It is so overwhelming that Christ is also, it says in the text here, thirdly, he is deeply grieved. Deeply grieved. Verse 34, he said to them, "My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch." And deeply grieved means to be surrounded by sorrow. So much sorrow, there's no escape, there's no joy, there's no sense of happiness at this point. You're drowning in emotional pain. In fact, deeply grieved tells us that Christ is engulfed in this grief. He's engulfed in the emotion and pain of it and the pressure of it. In fact, it is so bad, Christ is grieved, it says in verse 34, to the point of death. To the point of death. Christ has reached the very limit of stress, emotion, grief, and anguished trouble. The Bible, God's Word, is always true, always accurate. It declares Jesus right here is about to physically die. Physically die right here. He's right on the cusp. Luke 22 describes the pressure as so intense on his body that he begins to sweat great drops of blood through his pores. Luke 22:44, and being in agony at this point, he was praying very fervently, and his sweat became like drops of blood falling down to the ground. Hematidrosis is under immense stress. The capillaries in your body, they gorge, they inflate, and then they explode, and the blood actually comes out of the sweat glands. This is the maximum amount of stress a human body can actually endure, and the pressure is so great that God the Father actually sends an angel to minister to Jesus Christ. Yes, he does. The Father actually sent an angel to strengthen Christ in order to rescue Christ from premature death in Luke 22, verse 43. Christ might have bled to death from the stress of what he's going through right now, the agony of what he knows is going to befall him on the cross. And how could our Savior not be deeply grieved? Not only is our Jesus perfectly holy, but he's about to bear the ugliness of our sin. The ugliness of our sin. In fact, Jesus, you know, is God. And so our Lord knows the justice of God's wrath. And he understands that God is just to express his wrath against our sin. And now he's about to have a million eternities worth of God's righteous wrath poured out on him. He knows what's coming. And Christian, are you ready? Jesus Christ did all of that for you and for me. In the midst of this battle, Jesus commands his closest friends, verse 34, remain here and keep watch. Remain here and keep watch. And as they're supposed to be praying, what did they hear? What did they see? Verse 35, it says, and Jesus, he went a little beyond them and he fell to the ground and he began to pray that if it were possible, the hour might pass him by. So Jesus goes beyond the three in the garden and falls to the ground in prayer. His agony was so great, he could not stand up. He falls down. When Mark says he's only a stone's throw away from his disciples, Luke 22:41 says he went down to his knees, and then Matthew 26:39 says he actually fell to his face. So here he is. Fell is a descriptive tense. It's capturing a vivid picture of seeing him falling. They're watching him fall. And they saw him, verse 35, fall to the ground. Can you imagine how they felt when they saw his knees buckling and then falling to his face with blood dripping from his pores? What a sight that was. But what an agony Christ is going through in anticipation of bearing sin. Does Jesus cry? Does he feel sorry for himself? No, he prays. And his prayer is not because he's fearing some sort of dark destiny, nor because of the physical suffering he will endure, which is the worst that anyone can endure, but rather he is agonizing over the horror of, in some way, experiencing some form of separation from the Father, though they are one and have been one for all eternity, and for bearing the absolute wrath of God upon himself for sin. Jesus himself is about to become the object for the holy wrath of God against sin. And in this prayer, Jesus is anticipating his coming cry on the cross that he gives in Mark 15, verse 34. At the ninth hour, it says, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But what does Jesus ask here? Verse 35, he began to pray that if it were possible, the hour might pass him by. Jesus is asking the Father, is there another way? Can I pass on bearing the weight of sin? Can I pass on bearing the just wrath of God against sin? Can I pass on breaking oneness in some manner with you, Father? Can I pass on that? The hour is coming. Your chosen time has occurred for my sacrificial death. It's only 9 hours away. Can I let this hour pass by me? Can I fulfill my messianic mission in some other way? But with the rest of Christ's prayer in verse 36, you hear his divine heart, and he's saying, look what he says here, Abba, Father. All things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. Aren't those words tender? Abba, Father. It affirms the incredible oneness and the amazing eternal intimacy of the Son and the Father. He says all things are possible. It affirms, hey, God's ability, his power, he could release him. And yet he says, yet not what I will, but what you will. And it displays the incredible submission and humility and dependence, chosen dependence of the Son to the Father at this time. They both know, Father and Son, that Christ cannot miss this moment. He cannot miss the cross. The Trinity knows that this has been God's plan from the very beginning. And the Son knows without the shedding of blood, there cannot be the forgiveness of sin. So Jesus must drink the cup of God's wrath. In fact, C.H. Spurgeon said it best when he said, it seemed as if hell were put into his cup. He seized it, and in one tremendous draught of love, he drank damnation dry. Now you know what Christ did for you. Being born a man, living a perfect life, but then bearing your sin and God's wrath for sin upon himself on the cross. It's Good Friday because God is the one who is saving sinners like you and I. It's Good Friday because that's when the greatest act of love ever occurred on planet Earth. Nothing compares to this action of love. And it's Good Friday because Christ was willing to go through eternal agony as our substitute and took our place and took the punishment that we deserved. Salvation is the admission that you are sinful to the core and deserve eternal wrath in hell. that you realize that, you know that, you admit that completely to the core of your being. Salvation is embracing all that Christ did on the cross, his resurrection from the dead 3 days later, and you believe that with all your heart. It's not just a mental assent, that you now trust your whole life to that event. And salvation is being transformed by Christ internally, not just an external decision, but an internal transformation, though you actually want to follow him as your master your entire life. So as we begin to transition now to our time in prayer, let's focus on what Jesus Christ has done. What I want to ask you, would you, for a moment, for 40 seconds or so, in silence, would you thank and praise Jesus Christ for his incredible sacrifice for sin? Let's do that right now. And would you now, for another moment, confess any known sin, anything that's lingering in your heart, anything that you know is unworthy of the sacrifice of Christ on your behalf. Confess that now, in silence, before God, or out loud. Regardless, let's make sure that we agree with him and confess those things that separate us from our fellowship with him. And for another moment, if you would you commit in prayer to live in a manner that would truly please and honor the gospel, worthy of the gospel, Philippians says, that we would live in a way that would honor his sacrifice. Let's pray that right now, just in silence or out loud in your home. Well, we hope that your heart is filled with joy and thanks for what Christ has done for you tonight. Remember what he's done, and any trial will be easier to endure. Remembering what he's done, and any issue will pale in importance. We have been made whole. We have been forgiven and cleansed and washed from every single sin, past, present, and future. We are ready for heaven right now. We have been made right by the incredible sacrifice of God the Son, Jesus Christ, a triune God who all labored to rescue you. Give thanks tonight. To live is Christ, and Christ is alive. This is Good Friday, and good evening to you. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for listening today. Sermon audio from the last 3 years is available by podcast. And a larger archive from Chris Mueller and Faith Bible Church can be found at media.faith-bible.net. Now, if you would, please leave us a review on iTunes. Sure helps a lot. Thanks, and have a great day.